This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Hello, Bill Caskey.
Hello, Brian Neal. That was nice.
Back at the Advanced Selling Podcast, we come to you every week of the year, except for Christmas.
And, we didn't do a Christmas version?
No, we didn't. We didn't this year. We did a pre-Christmas version, but we didn't get all dressed up.
We put my kids on the thing last year.
We did, I know.
We put my,
but your kids weren't around this year.
Well, she's scared of elves now.
Yeah, that's right. We're well into the year, 2012.
We are. We're off and running.
I think it's going to be a very good year. It's going to be better than last year, and it sounds like the economy is heating up, and the election cycle is, although tedious, it's heating up. And so it's going to be a good year.
For the United States people, at least.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. We're going to talk today about process. And we get a lot of cards and letters, if you will, from people who give us topic ideas. And one of our podcast family is Rachel, who's actually we had her on a few weeks ago. She's with the Denver Chamber of Commerce out there in Tebow land. So anyway, we've had Rachel on once, and she had a really good question here, and it has to do with sales process. You know, there's a lot of stuff written about sales process and sales sequence and sales strategy. And she says, why don't you guys take a stab at making some sense out of it?
Yeah.
So I said, far be it from us to figure out a way to do that, but we'll try.
We'll give it our best.
Yeah.
This is a hard question, too.
It is.
I struggle with the answer to what is the sales process and what isn't it. So we're going to give you some definition to think about it. And I think we're going to start with the idea that something.
Your voice
Bobby
is changing.
Bobby Pete Brady, don't I? When it's time to change, you've got to rearrange. Okay.
When it's time to change, then it's time to change. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sha-na-na-na-na.
Google that. That's a funny song. From the Brady Bunch, you don't remember that?
I don't want to know that.
When Pete Brady's voice changed? He was going through puberty and his voice was changing, and they did the song and they put him in the song. You got
to
see that.
Google it.
YouTube. It's fantastic. Great episode of the Brady Bunch.
Good.
Anyway, we want to start by modeling what is in your book, Same Game, New Rules, which people can buy at samegamenewrules.com, correct? Mm-hmm. And they get some videos there if they go there, correct? Samegamenewrules.com, samegamenewrules.com. Say it three times. And there's a marketing model in there that is actually a buyer model, fair? It's how people go about buying. And the model goes like this, and it's something that's commonplace knowledge. It's nothing we created. So buyers move from a state of unawareness, where they don't know anything, to awareness, to, oh, all of a sudden, look, there that thing is, to comprehension, oh, now I'm not only aware of it, but I understand it, to conviction, which means I really need that, and that's the one I want, to action where they buy.
Mm-hmm.
And from a sales process standpoint, we want to take that model and say, how do we mirror what we do as a salesperson, put it against that, and we want to wrap this conversation today around our expertise, knowledge, and the things that we're talking about, positioning ourselves as an expert, and how that might look different than the traditional sales model would put up against that.
Yeah. And I think for those of you who have sales processes right now, take what Brian just said there, that model, and filter your current process through that. I just left a meeting with a company who's trying to sell utilities, large utilities. And, of course, that's a bureaucratic nightmare. There's a lot of people making the decisions, and it's a long selling cycle. And their goal was to go in on the first meeting, get them to sign a letter of agreement. Is that really the process that they use? If you said to the utility, what process do you use when you get ready to change? They wouldn't say, well, the first meeting we like to sign the letter of agreement and then figure out what the agreement says.
Yep.
No, of course not. There's a process. They need to understand what the product is, what it does for them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to understand what impact it has on them. And we talk a lot about that in the sales cycle, but I think it's important you filter your sales process through this buyer filter. I bet what you'll find is that you're not obeying the natural buying cycle.
No, you're doing what we call leaping, and you're trying to vault the entire process and go from unaware to action as quickly
swoop,
as humanly possible,
in one swoop. And really, not only does it you think, well, it's going to be quicker if I vault over it. No, actually, you may be dead. You may you may end up not getting anything because you tried too fast, too hard. Okay.
Yeah. And I think with this question, I think one of the things to acknowledge here is to say you should be able to, at any point in the process, know where the buyer is through this thing and know where we are to talk about it together. So when we first meet someone, one of the goals, and I'll teach people to use this actual language in the sales process, is to say, stage-wise, our point today, since we've just met, is really just to move you from a place of being, A, aware of us, but then, B, just understanding and comprehending a little bit about what we do and where we fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll let it go where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use that language in a conversation or in our upfront agreement tool that we teach to help lay that out so that we know where we are. Now, there's another thing that's going on these days, and you may have heard us mention this thing called ZMOT, which was a brilliantly done, created thing by Google, correct? Mm-hmm. And this has to do with the fact that people are getting to this comprehension stage via the internet and search way before you ever show up. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think that's going on or occurring, then you're absolutely crazy. People that are really into looking to buy something or do something, you are doing an immense amount of research on the internet through Google and other search engines, and they're finding great, great useful data. So the question is, what do they find out about you? And does what they find out about you position you as an expert? Which I think is lesson one in the sales process, is packaging my knowledge in a way that people can digest it before they meet me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they are looking for you.
Yes.
You can, you know, we used to hear the excuse, well, my customers, they're really not on the internet. And you know what? There were some people that weren't. Today, nobody's not on the internet, the traditional double negative that I love. Nobody's not on the internet. And then the next excuse will be, well, but they don't really search for my product on the internet.
Right.
Well, they may not, but if you send them an email and you're getting ready to go in and see them, they will search something to give them at least a 30-second version of
Absolutely.
What you do. They just will.
If
what's up there, as Brian said, is not deliberate and it's not something you've put up there, who knows what they'll find?
Correct. Yeah. And if it's old school positioning, so if it's old school, here's what we do, here are the features and benefits of our stuff, you're setting yourself up for the old school position like a vendor salesperson.
Yeah.
What they need to find is expert sort of material, expert knowledge positioned in a way or set up in a way that positions you as an expert.
Okay. So really, in a way, step one of the process is positioning. Whatever that means
absolutely.
For you, it can mean articles, podcasting, videos. It can mean just a speech that maybe you gave in front of a club and you have taken that speech and packaged it up. And that's something that you can send prior to a call where they get a sense for your perspective and how you see things. So step one is position.
Yep. Step one is position without question. And that might be, as you said, a different, as I look at my sales process now after I listen to this podcast, When it used to be, I go meet and we do needs analysis, step one. Now step one is I send link to video of me speaking about said topic in ABC mm-hmm. industry that positions me as an expert. Mm-hmm. That's how it changes. That's really good.
Okay, right. I've got a second P for the process.
Oh, we're doing P's
we're
for
going,
process.
We're doing P's, yeah.
I'll try not to pop mine, shall
that
I?
That would help. The second P is packaging.
Ooh.
Are you packaging your process and your value up in a way that is consumable for the customer? For example, the example Brian just gave, he says, I may go in on the first call and I may say, you know, my intention of this first call is to really get to know you a little bit, find out a little bit about your company, tell you what we do. So at the end of this time, we can have a comprehension maybe about whether it makes sense to get together again.
Mm-hmm.
That is packaging.
Yes.
Don't think of packaging as, is it a red, you know, a red font or a blue font?
Right.
This is not like Procter & Gamble packaging of a product. This is packaging of your process, of your value.
Yep.
Are you able to, and we had this conversation today with one of my clients, I said, what's the process when you get in and go into these people's companies?
Yep.
He says, well, first I do this, and then I do this, and I do this, and I do this. He had it pretty well set. I said, okay, is that in writing anywhere?
Right.
No.
Nope.
It's not in writing anywhere. Well, okay, so here's what happens. If it's not in writing, it depends upon you to wing it.
Yep.
And when you wing it, you either will leave off something, or you'll not say to the prospect, let me tell you why we have this in step two.
Very good.
So that's about packaging up your value and your procedures so that it can be consumable by the customer.
Yeah, I always mention to my clients that having a process to follow and sharing that with someone takes a ton of fear out of the whole system and methodology in the process,
doesn't it?
We say, here's where we are. A great analogy to this, and you can do this, right? Anytime you go to, say, United Airlines website and you're booking a ticket, there's this little ticker across the top that has little four circles, one, then a line, two, three, and four.
Mm-hmm.
And each step you move through, it moves over to step two. And so I know, there's only four steps. This is nice. I'm halfway done with this. Step three, and it says select your seat. Step four, check out and pay. And almost all web sorts of currencies where you buy things, they have these little tickers. Same deal, right?
Same deal.
Four-step process for us when we sit down with someone new. Step one is this. Step two is this. If we get that far, step three is this. Step four is this. People go, great, I can follow that.
Yeah. Do you see how important it is to, in a way, isn't it kind of irrelevant what your process is?
Yes.
So when I'm sitting down with someone and they say, what's your process? I don't care if it's 12 steps. Now, I think you got to be careful about overloading them. But it's really more important that you sit down and talk to them about it and you have a a guideline or an image or something than it is how many steps are in it. Because
yes.
I think sales organizations get all hung up, well, in step 7, we want the CEO there, and if he's not going to be there to cut the check, then we're not going to have the license agreement.
Yeah.
Well, okay, whatever. But to me, the deal gets won or lost, or the system gets decided whose system you're going to be on up front when you start to lay out this stuff.
No doubt. And I think for VPs of sales and sales managers that are listening to this, and for the salespeople to share this with them, this makes everything much, much easier to do and to execute in the process, yeah, in the field. It also makes it more measurable. Just like a website can, we can start to figure out where people are leaving us in that process, or where we're going off, or if we get to a certain point and people keep telling us, no, I don't want to meet you past stage 2, we have to really examine what we're doing and saying in stage 2 and say, what are we doing and saying that's not wanting people to go to stage 3?
Exactly.
Something's wrong here. If I'm winging it, like you said earlier, I have no idea why they're leaving me.
Yeah.
And they'll probably lie about it anyway if I'm not...
Or if I'm wearing stripes and plaids, maybe. That could be
a resistance point. I'm guessing might come back. Be careful. The fall collection is coming sooner than you think. It's not even summer yet.
So here's a question about karma, because you wrote a really good blog the other day
thank you.
About karma. It was very short, but it was very pithy.
Well, thank you.
T-I-T-H-Y.
You're not saying that intoxicated.
No, no.
Okay, that's good. Because when you're intoxicated, it means something different.
And you talked about karma, and I wonder... If I have a really good process and I've packaged up my knowledge and I'm positioned well, will that call, that initial call, be easier to make for me as
a
sales professional?
Yeah.
Because I kind of know where I'm going?
Yeah. Are you asking questions you know the answer to on purpose?
Well, I made that statement today to my coaching client because I thought it would. And then the more I thought about it, the more I say, well, I don't have any empirical evidence. That's just a hunch.
Well, we do have empirical evidence because we do it. We got two clients last year, you did, to my knowledge, that were speeches and day events. And in both cases, I believe what the people told us when they hired you was that by the time I talked to you, I felt like I already knew you because they had listened to our podcast and they had watched our videos and watched you. And so we leapt way past that without even any engagement, very little money on our hands. We didn't go visit or anything. And so there's no doubt that positioning yourself this way as an expert, putting this stuff up as part of your process to let them go look at, go watch this video, go listen to this, it completely changes the outcome for me, that you definitely have better karma. You're received better. And it can be polarizing. So they can watch your videos and go, you're not our guys. No thanks. We're out of here.
We've had that happen too.
Absolutely. And you know what? It saves a ton of time on our part, ton of time on their part. It's a great thing either way to me.
So the bottom line here is make sure that you position yourself properly.
Yep.
And I know that we didn't get in maybe to what are the steps of the process, but again, we don't want to take you down a place that's not as important as the upfront part, which is understand your position, understand your package, how you package things, and then get into the procedure and the sequence of events and those things.
Yeah, definitely. You can find us on LinkedIn at our LinkedIn Advanced Selling Podcast group, Advanced Selling Podcast on LinkedIn. That's where we got this question today, right? Mm-hmm. From our friend Rachel.
From Rachel, And we mentioned last time, if you have a audio testimonial you'd like to send to us, or just an audio shout out with you and a bunch of your friends, go ahead and send it to us. Let us know on the Advanced Selling Podcast LinkedIn group, and we'll make sure we get you an email so you can send it over to us, and we'll use it on the air.
We will.
All right.
See you.
See you. Bye.
When it's time to change, then it's time to change.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to iTunes.